Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, April the 30th, 2024. We thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. I got, before we get going into the news, yeah. I got two things, but I know you got to keep.
Let me introduce the panel, the distinguished panel. Then we'll get introduced. They get upset.
That's right.
Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I'm just honored to have distinguished mentioned before
well,
me. Other people have used different terms.
I use that term lightly, I admit.
And cautiously.
Cautiously and lightly.
I'm distinguished.
All right, Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Brother Ray.
Good morning, Tim. I'm feeling very extinguished this morning. So.
Yeah, what are you, day what of what now?
Day 95 of 180 and day 15 of 28 days of radiation. And I had one last night and then one this morning. So I am, there's a glow behind me. That's the giving off the radiation behind my back here, you know?
Well,
so,
for those watching. Yeah,
for
those who don't know, Ray has, is being treated for prostate.
That's right, prostate cancer.
Yeah. Prostate cancer, so that your regimen of, are you doing chemo or just radiation? Or both?
Radiation and this hormone treatment. So I'm almost exactly at the halfway mark, and it feels like we just started yesterday, so we're zipping right along.
Now, does that mean, I'm sorry to get personal here, and I know I'm violating HIPAA laws, but do you have to drive to the clinic every day?
Single morning. And Marlene,
Monday through Friday or 7 days a week?
Monday through Friday. So okay. Not on Saturday, Sunday. Marlene went with me this morning and some
company. How long is that? How drive?
Oh, it's not very far. It's about a 20-minute drive from here to where I got to the University of Kansas Medical Center.
Okay.
In Kansas City. So,
so yeah. You just have a standing appointment Monday through Friday. They're
yeah,
expecting
8:15 in the morning.
What are they doing there?
Well, they have all these machines, Tim, and they're multi-million-dollar machines, right? And they got a bunch of them. Here's the thing. They keep them going. They keep those radiation machines going from 7:30 in the morning till 6 at night. And as I'm going in, somebody else is walking out having just been treated. And as I'm walking out, the next guy's walking in. I mean,
you're just a number.
I'm just a number. I'm just a number. Hey, I'm happy.
Just to be a number.
Pay any attention to me. Just give me the radiation and let's keep moving.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, do you have to go? You know, do you have to go in like a tube or a room or?
You go in a special room. It's all sealed off because they're using so much radiation on you, and you go there and let's just say it delicately. Anybody who's had this treatment knows what I mean. You soon lose all modesty. It just goes out the door. They just turn on the machine and zip, 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 zip.
Okay.
And about 4 or 5 minutes later, you're done. I haven't felt anything the whole time. Yeah.
As far as the treatment goes, right, but what about the side effects?
Fatigue. Unbelievable amount of fatigue. I wake up in the morning, Wesley, and I feel like I haven't slept at all. Mm. Have to take a nap in the afternoon, and I've learned, again, cancer patients know what this is about. You can't fight it. People say, power your way through it. There's no powering your way through this.
Yeah. Right. You know? It's a real physical effect.
Yeah, it is.
On your body. Now, you're a biking enthusiast. Has that affected that at all? Or?
I bike all the time in my memory. I'm doing mental biking all the time.
Okay, but you don't have the energy to bike.
Not much. I bike a little bit. I'm walking, trying to get in 10,000 steps a day.
I got you. Yeah. Well, just go out in the front yard and start walking them down
pretty
the street?
Pretty much. I have a Fitbit, and I've got a Peloton app, and it counts my steps.
All right, well, let me ask folks to continue to pray for Brother Ray as he gets treated here for this prostate cancer and has 100% complete full healing.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Of the cancer. All right. We have a lot to talk about today. Frank Gaffney will be with us at the bottom of the hour from Securing America Radio, heard each evening on American Family Radio. Chris, what is going to be our topic with Frank?
Oh, it's going to be an upcoming gathering of the World Health Organization. They have we've been covering this for months now, and we'll continue to do so on AFN.net. There is discussion about possibly taking over national sovereignty issues on things involving health policies. So, God forbid, there's another COVID-19 type thing. The WHO would have the say over that. The WHO meaning the World Health Organization, not the band.
Yes.
The World Health Organization would have say over what countries, including ours, should do. There's going to be a big gathering and a vote on this issue. Frank is one of those people out there saying this amounts to a treaty. Our Senate should be able to weigh in, and we should tell our senators to vote no on this.
He's an expert, and so he'll be able to be on during that time.
We have a lot of things I can shamelessly plug from AFN.
Michelle Bachman, our own Sandy Rios, and others have been shouting from the rooftop. Mm-hmm. About this situation, and so Frank Gaffney will be joining us at the bottom of the hour.
That's right. Oh, we got two events I want to let our audience know about before we go to the news,
okay,
if that's
go.
Okay. We've got AFA at the Arc, October 31st through November 2nd, and you can go register your family there. Also,
what is that?
Well, it is our time where couple of the staff members and a few of the leadership, myself and Tony Vitaglione and his family and my family, we're taking 200 of our listeners and our supporters, after assuming they register, taking 200 of them to the Creation Museum on Thursday, to the Ark Encounter on Friday, and in both cases we'll tour it together. We'll get the fellowship, we'll eat lunch together. We have several speakers in the evenings on both nights, and so it'll be a wonderful opportunity.
Ken? You said Ken Ham's going to be there?
Ken Ham will not be there this year. His number two will be there, and she will speak on his behalf for us at a private luncheon.
Will she speak in an
Friday.
Australian accent? Or
actually, she will. I'm pretty confident
really?
She will, yeah.
Okay, but anyway, that is a... So if you want to go to the Ark and the Creation Museum,
let me back up. I've heard her talk before. I don't think it's Australian, but she has an accent.
Okay. Okay.
Says, but I guess they all do, right?
Says the man from Mississippi.
Right.
Okay. So October 31 through November 3rd. So how can I find out more information about this time?
October 31st through November 2nd, and you can find out at afa.net/events, afa.net/events. Lastly, we have Men of Honor coming up this summer. We're looking forward to it. It's a summer program that AFA has hosted and organized and coordinated over the last five summers, where we offer a discipleship program for young men who do not have a godly influence, a manly influence in their life. Some don't have dads. Some do have dads in their life but are absent. And so Men of Honor this summer, you can find out more by going to afa.net/events. It begins the first Tuesday in June, and it ends the first Tuesday in July.
Now that is particularly for people within a driving distance of our headquarters here.
That's right. Usually, because it's hosted on our at our headquarters in Tupelo, Mississippi, usually we get young men, about 30 to 40 young men within about a 30-minute drive. Occasionally, we'll have two or three young men over the last couple of years. It will drive up to an hour.
Now, you developed a curriculum that people can use across the country, right?
There's a curriculum for this. So if you're not able to be a part of the local Men of Honor at our headquarters this summer, we have laid it out into detail, the curriculum, and you can find that at our resource center. And Chris will help me in the next few minutes. I'll get you the link,
okay,
and we can get that up. We can
on
get that
Facebook.
Posted.
I can do that.
Because the curriculum is being used in at least a dozen churches that I'm aware of. And I say churches, some are just communities where godly men are taking up the curriculum and they're putting Men of Honor into practice there. You learn the Word of God. You learn a skill. Each time you go, you learn a skill, whether that's yard maintenance, whether that's car maintenance, whether that's etiquette class.
How to use a firearm.
How to use a firearm, firearm safety. Those are things that are covered in the class. So Bible, skill time, pizza and fellowship, and there's a very detailed curriculum that I'm going to give to Chris, and he, and you can begin a men of honor in your area.
And for,
just as
typically, what age are this for young men?
Ages 7 to 17.
7 to 17. Okay, mm-hmm. And it's just designed really to be a summer program, right?
That's right. So please go register if you live within the and within driving distance. Always, I say within driving, within a 30-45 minutes of Tupelo, Mississippi. We love to host your young son or your grandson here at our headquarters. The first week in June, it ends the last week or the first week, first Tuesday in July, and all the details and more you can find at afa.net/events.
afa.net/events. You got any more community announcements?
The popcorn machine's broke.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. He said, wait.
Well, I already got one serving right here.
You tell red me. Alert. Red alert.
That is totally
you're
kidding.
You're not.
There are certain things you can't say on the radio, and that's one of them.
I find most things to be funny, but
I saw your face.
Tell me a popcorn machine's broke. In the middle. That's just not.
Community announcement. No joking.
Yeah. Makes your heart skip a beat.
You're going to get replaced by Riley tomorrow.
That's right.
And we're not talking John Riley.
No.
All right. So, anyway, we are ready to move on to the news, Chris.
All right. At least 4 law officers are dead, several others wounded. After serving a warrant for a felon yesterday, he was wanted for possessing a firearm. The officers, some of them were U.S. Marshals, went to the facility that he was residing at in Charlotte to serve him a warrant over the situation. When he and some others returned fire, and again, at least 4 law officers are dead, several others wounded. Terrible situation. You mentioned praying for Ray a minute ago. We need to pray for the city of Charlotte.
What do you want to happen? So these were U.S. Marshals? Mm-hmm. Aren't they?
Yes, at least some of them that were fired upon.
So they were going to serve an arrest warrant to arrest somebody.
Yes.
And he came out of the house or
started. The reason they were going is because he had an illegal firearm. He's a felon with a registered illegal firearm.
Yeah. Okay.
We've got a story on AFN.net. I've already shared the link for it, so do look for the link on our Facebook page. Or wherever it is that you find links. After a 3-hour standoff, the suburban Charlotte home was torn open. Armored vehicles smashed into it, ripping off windows and the entire doorways that were left broken. Several armored vehicles were parked across yards, some with tree branches dangling off them. The U.S. Marshals Task Force was fired on by the wanted suspect as they approached the home, and the man was killed in the front yard, according to the police chief there. I've got a couple of sound bites. It's a horrible, terrible, no good situation that we hope no police officer ever goes through, but I do have some audio here of Charlotte Police Chief Johnny Jennings. He was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he said, unfortunately, this kind of thing does come with the territory for law enforcement officers. Clip 10.
We put on this uniform, and we don't know if we're coming home, and the dangers that are involved in this uniform, putting this uniform on, and a situation like this brings it all to reality.
I read this story last night. I was just really heartbroken for the community and the families, but I just didn't know exactly how this transpired because these men who went to serve an arrest warrant, right? They're going to arrest the guy, okay? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, these are highly skilled, highly trained, Wesley, officers.
Yes, they are. And what happened was they were doing they've done this many times before. I'm sure I have a friend that's done this, going to arrest who is a officer at the time who's going to do the arrest warrant. Well, it's just another day for them. Well, before they even got to approach fully all the way to the door, they were ambushed with shots. And so when they were ambushed, shot, there was officers that were shot at that time. They returned fire and killed the shooter. And then after the fact, from inside the house where they couldn't see, there was a lady and a 17-year-old man, or they say boy, 17 is a man, 17-year-old boy and a woman inside. What they have not identified which one or both, but one or the other or both began shooting with their rifle from the inside of the house out, shot another one of the officers, and then several of the other officers went to try to rescue a couple of the officers that had been hit, and they've got shot. So that's how it all kind of unfolded quickly in the exchange of the fire.
Four confirmed deaths. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. You just rarely hear, you know, you'll hear a story about, Ray, about one officer killed in in wherever, Kansas City, Chicago, L.A., but you don't typically hear of four in one situation. Go ahead.
Well, there are so many questions we have about this. Obviously, the shooter, the woman, the 17-year-old man, as you said, Wesley, obviously they were prepared, heavily armed, ready to go, because one shooter, I don't think normally would be able to take out four officers like that, or four U.S. Marshals. It'd be almost impossible. What happened to the 17-year-old and to the woman? Were they taken into custody?
Yes, they are being questioned, according to the police chief we just heard from.
One other thing I want to point out.
By the way, eight officers were shot, four killed. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Wesley.
What I wanted to back up and just highlight for a minute is the fact that there was a good couple of years there during the Summer of Love that we wanted to defund officers. And these officers, not only did they take care of the situation, they went above and beyond. They put their lives on the line, not just the beginning of going in there, but when they saw their officers, their buddies, their friends, their coworkers laying there shot, they left from behind the vehicle and cover to go help their officers, their buddies, their coworkers while being shot at.
Right.
These are the types of
heroes.
Yeah, obviously there's there's a 1% in every bunch, but that don't do the job the way they signed up to do. But 95, 96, 97% of officers are like these men here who are here to serve and protect. And I don't know the guy's name, but the four or five that went after their brothers and their coworkers to save them, credit to them.
Mm-hmm. In our story on AFN.net, and again, I've shared the link, look in the Today's Issues Facebook page, the Marshals Service confirms one of its agents was killed. Two officers from the State Department of Adult Correction also were killed. That's according to Governor Roy Cooper in the story we have on our website.
Let me ask you this question. Do the U.S. Marshals, this was the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force, so do we know at what point do U.S. Marshals get involved rather than, say, the local police department or sheriff's department?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Would that be something that involved interstate? You know what I'm saying? I'm just wondering. Interstate?
When is their jurisdiction?
Yeah, basically? But so this was, anyway, this happened at 1:30 p.m. on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it also, Ray, proves to the point that police officers, people involved in law enforcement, even like these marshals, they don't know what tomorrow holds and what kind of situation they're going to find themselves in.
You know, you think to yourself, from trying to understand what's going on here, they're coming after this guy to take him in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He opens fire.
Right.
Then the woman opens fire. The 17-year-old opens fire. You can't really be totally prepared. You don't know what you're up against in a situation like that.
Right.
So this was a truly tragic and horrible situation. And God bless the police officers, marshals and others who laid down their lives. And those who also ended up taking the guy out. It's an awful situation.
Next story.
Well, this could very well have been the lead. We've gone from peaceful protests on campus to complete anarchy, pretty much, at the Columbia University, at least.
That's the big university in New York.
It is.
It's getting so much attention.
It has gotten so – I mean, yesterday, the university president, who people have been asking to resign for a couple of weeks now based on what's going on there, the university set an ultimatum, hey, you need to break apart your tent camp or you're going to be suspended. That deadline came, and they were still there. And then we had an event where, or a situation, I should say, where Columbia students took over portions of a building, broke some windows, barricaded doors. It's gone from protests, as the news media wants you to believe, to complete anarchy there at a university.
All right. Ray, do you know anything about Columbia? Isn't it like an Ivy League school?
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, this is a tough place to get into. It's a top dollar school. And I mean, you pay a lot of money to go to school there. So they attract the elite, very elite faculty, the best of the best among the students.
Right.
I mean, they're on the level with Harvard and Yale mm-hmm. and Princeton right up there. So
okay.
one of the great universities.
Now, but evidently they can't control their own campus.
No.
They being the administration.
Yeah, well, they might have the ability, but they've clearly not taken the steps to put an end to this situation. And you have a lot of liberals siding with these, what the news media wants you to believe are protesters, saying they have First Amendment rights. First Amendment is, you know, their speech is protected, things like that.
Okay, but now they've taken over a building near mm-hmm. the campus's South Lawn. I mean, these people, first of all, they were supposed to disperse and go away.
Correct.
They were ordered so by the president of the school, mm-hmm. right? Is that, that's what it's called.
The president.
Maybe called chancellor. And they just disregarded that order. Mm-hmm. And then that's been, ultimately has been issued like three different times. And now the president of the school won't call in the police. Is that true?
Well, they won't. There have been police there, but more often than not, they're shown in video, aerial footage, stuff like that. You'll see on Fox or CNN. The police are basically just standing there observing to make sure things are not getting completely out of hand. Although one might make the argument it has already reached that point.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. New York City is just out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Completely yeah. and totally out of control.
They got a lot of problems.
They got, yeah, I've been to New York City. Ray, I know you've been there. I've been there probably yeah. 10 times in my life. Well, more than that. I've been there more than that because a lot of times I've had coming back, going to Israel or coming back from Europe or something like that, spent a couple of days. So it's been more than 10 times. But I guess 10 times where I've just got out and done the tourist thing and gone around. But, Ray, it's just crime is out of control, violent crime. It seems like nobody's – here you have these wackadoodle liberal – I don't know. The liberals probably too
– Right.
Radicals.
Far left. Far,
radicals.
Far left. The yeah, far left just, in control there.
Just opening up the campus to anti-Semitism. And then now the faculty of this school mm-hmm. is out there with the kids,
yeah.
with the students.
I talked about that issue with students supporting Israel last week. A lot of these professors that do crazy woke things cling to their tenure. You have to do something really awful if you're a tenured professor to be fired. And I can't speak for everybody out there siding with these students, but some of them do have tenure. And students supporting Israel
you
said...
You mean the student? I mean, you mean the...
The
professors.
Yeah. Students supporting Israel said it's gotten to the point where universities need to look at their tenure policies and reform stuff because yeah. this is going to continue.
I think the I hope a lot of these universities flop and fail. And I hope this causes them great damage.
Yeah, I think between this and their DEI programs, they have to be in the hole financially. They've got to be.
Well, these
a lot of donors.
Yeah,
are
these
out.
Schools, they are losing a lot of donors. These big Ivy League and other liberal schools are losing a lot of their alumni.
The owner of the Patriots last week
Robert
was like,
Kraft.
I'm not giving you any more money.
Yep.
However, let me just say this. These schools have enormous endowments.
That's right.
So I don't know, they could reach into those endowment funds to, but here's where the school, whatever you want to call them, whatever they're called, board of directors, for lack of a better term, that they're called different things, mm-hmm. trustees,
regents,
trustees, they're going to have to take control.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to fire some administration and. They're going to have to clean house, or their reputations are going to be
that's true. Yep,
in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is they're going to have a hard time recruiting new students, especially not going to get any Jews. You know, Jewish students, and New York City is a big Jewish population. And I would guess Columbia University has a big Jewish population
mm-hmm. yep.
in their student body. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. This is live radio, so if we mess up, Chris, it's for all the world to see.
Yeah. You know, the first time for everything when you mess up.
This is not edited. It's live radio. Ray Pritchard's with us in Kansas City. Good morning again, Ray.
Good morning, Tim.
So Chris Woodward, Ray Pritchard, Tim Wildman, and Wesley Wildman. Wesley went to the break room and hasn't come back. There he comes. All right. So listen, there's an issue that we need to be aware of if you aren't already. Some of you have already heard about this, involving the World Health Organization. And one person sounding the alarm is our friend Frank Gaffney from the program Securing America, heard weekdays at 10 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Frank hosts the show Securing America, and we've invited him on now to tell us about this. Frank, good morning.
Good morning to you, gents.
Hey, Frank, tell us, I know that you're well-versed in this and deep into it and understanding it, but there may be a lot of people listening right now who have not heard about this whole situation. So can you start from the beginning?
I'll give you the shortest of short courses.
Yes.
Because I know time is limited. The World Health Organization was started in 1948, basically to help provide advice to nations around the world, particularly underdeveloped ones, about basic sanitation, just how you could have a healthier population by not doing stupid things like pouring sewage into the streets, that sort of thing. Over the years, it has morphed a bit, but most especially in the period leading up to and following the COVID pandemic. Why that's so important is the guy who is the director general of the World Health Organization, a fellow by the name of Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, who, by the way, was selected for this position out of obscurity as a minister in an Ethiopian government that was regarded by ours as a terrorist regime, was plucked for that job by the Chinese Communist Party. And what he has done in this pandemic period and then subsequent to it is to try to amass power and exercise it in a way that has proven to be not just harmful but deadly. In fact, two of our best doctors, Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Peter McCullough, believe that something on the order of 1 million Americans who perished during the COVID pandemic died needlessly because of the bad advice that they were given by Tedros Ghebreyesus. The bad advice, including adopting what he called the China model for contending with a pandemic, which involved, as you may remember, putting on masks, social distancing, quarantining, lockdowns, jabs, mandatory jabs at that, with inadequately tested and, it turns out, unsafe so-called vaccines. They weren't even vaccines. They were actually just radical gene therapies. This bad advice cost us dearly in terms of not only loss of life, but countless billions of dollars. And, you know, the upheaval in our society that resulted in the removal of Donald Trump from the presidency. Now, get this. The World Health Organization, under Tedros's leadership, has come up with a plan with the strong support, by the way, of the Biden administration and Tedros's Chinese masters and the World Economic Forum of Davos and the European Union and Bill Gates and Big Pharma, all these globalists who have in mind what they call global governance. And the World Health Organization is intended to be the leading edge of that, because Tedros Ghebreyesus, if not one, but two treaties are approved by a group called the World Health Assembly, the member nations of the World Health Organization, starting on the 27th of May. If they approve these two treaties, Tedros Ghebreyesus will be given not only the authority to make advice and recommendations to us about public health policy, he will be able to dictate when we have a public health emergency of international concern, and not only that, but to dictate what we must do in response to it. He's also got, by the way, some rather sweeping ideas as to what would constitute a public health emergency of international concern. He includes among those climate change, reproductive rights, transgender rights, the issue of poverty, the issue of instability, the issue of gun violence.
This has nothing to do with diseases. Okay.
It believes it's not pandemics, that's for sure, but he thinks it has something to do with health. He also, by the way, I think believes that Gaza is a public health emergency of international concern, and I think one of the things he will do with all this power is he will tell Israel it must stop its operations there. It must stop short of destroying Hamas, and that sets the stage for the compulsory surrender of Israel as a practical matter. This is all stuff that need not happen to us, but that's what's in the works right now, and I so appreciate you taking the time to talk about it.
Absolutely. We're talking to Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, heard weeknights here on American Family Radio at 10 o'clock Central Time, about the World Health Organization and what's supposed to happen on May the 27th. Let me ask you, I know Wesley has a question and Ray, I know, but let me ask you this, Frank. Our country, as it stands now, we look to, and I know people are going to laugh, but I'm just telling you how it has traditionally been up until COVID. I think some of these groups had more of a good reputation, not so much anymore, but the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, then you had the National...
NIH.
The National...
Institutes of Health.
Institutes of Health. Was that Dr. Fauci's group? All right, so you have these groups, the American Medical Association, for example, and then you've got your state... agencies like state health departments, for example, and they are basically the look to organizations for public health in the U.S. And now you're telling me, but even those organizations aren't dictatorships. They have to go. A lot of times governors and or legislatures consent to giving these organizations more power because they, are experts in the field of health, of public health, for example. So explain to me the mechanism that the World Health Organization would use to subvert authority on American soil and with the American people, public health requirements. That's way to put it.
Well, you made several really important points there in terms of most especially how so many of these institutions have now lost the confidence of the American people. And how did that happen? Well, it happened because they were following Tedros Ghebreyesus's prescriptions and directions. And what that has translated into is not just that they did fool things, if I can use that expression, but they created conditions under which we are now, I think, on notice as to what's going to come if this whole thing follows the course that it's planned. We will have people doing what happened to us the last time. We'll have doctors who have been basically paid to go along with this program. We'll have pharmacists who will refuse to fill prescriptions if it's not approved therapies, according to the World Health Organization. We'll have government agencies that, despite their own plans for example, pandemic responses, that will jettison those plans in order to do what the World Health Organization, which is, by the way, not some center of great competency on medicine. Far from it. We've got a Dr. David Bell, who worked for the World Health Organization. He's the first to tell you these guys don't know what they're doing. The truth of the matter is much of this went down because people were panicked. And when they panic because they fear, you know, some kind of health crisis, tyrants step in and take advantage of it. And we saw some of that even, frankly, from, you know, governors in states here in the United States. You remember churches that weren't allowed to
lockdowns.
Have worship services when
lockdowns that went on and on and on.
On and on.
Michigan, for example, governor, I call her Governor Lockdown. What happened there?
Yeah. Hey, Frank Gaffney.
Governor of California.
Frank Gaffney, this is Wesley.
My point is,
finish your point, then I got a question.
Most people would say this can't possibly happen here. I'm just telling you, it did happen in this pandemic.
Yeah. This is Wesley Wildman here. I got a quick question. So obviously, in the last, 10 or 20 years, you know, at least in my adult life, the country has not been any more divided hard and in opposition from the left and the right. I mean, the intensity is as high as I've seen it in my adult life. However, with all the division and the hard lines, this is one area that overwhelming majority of Americans are saying no to masks, no to lockdowns, no to social distancing, no to mandating.
We're not doing that again.
The coercion. That there was a hard shift to get up to the 60-65% of Americans going, we're not doing that. So what can we do as Americans to stop what you're talking about that could potentially happen? Because surely when you got the majority on your side in this issue, we can do something.
You're absolutely right. And I thank you so much for the really important question. The truth of the matter is none of what I just described to you could take place unless the American people are kept absolutely in the dark about what's going on here. And that's what's happening. They're having negotiations as we speak in Geneva, Switzerland, to cook up these new arrangements that are going to replace our constitutional form of government with what they call, as I said, global governance, meaning run by a tyrant in the person of this Tedros Ghebreyesus, completely unaccountable. Completely, you know, unrepresentative, for that matter, of any of us. The answer to your question about what we can do about this is we can light this up. We can do what we're doing here, yes, and what we do on our show, Securing America, every night on your station. And I thank God for that, your stations.
Amen.
We can make sure that the American people are not blindsided by this. I call it the Nancy Pelosi rule. These guys have in mind, they'll let you know what's in this after they've approved it. That cannot be done.
Can we stop it? Can we stop it from happening?
100%. We can stop it. I'm telling you right now, we can stop it, and here's how we can stop it. We can become knowledgeable about what they're doing. We can go to the sovereigntycoalition.org website, and we can sign a statement that says, not now, not ever, frankly, but not now. We do not want these treaties to be finalized in the next month, which is the plan. And more to the point, what we need to do is we need to go to every single person. I'm fond of saying that, you know, generally politicians don't care a whole lot about you, but in the run-up to an election, they do. We can talk to every single candidate for the Congress, incumbent or otherwise, every single senator, especially incumbent or otherwise, every candidate for governor, and for sure the candidates for president of the United States. We can ask them, where do you stand on surrendering our sovereignty, sir? Or ma'am, where do you stand on giving up states' rights The federal government doesn't have the right to manage federal health policy. It's not one of the enumerated powers.
Right.
And where do you stand on giving up my individual medical freedom? I don't want Dr. Tedros as my doctor.
Sure.
But that's what's in prospect now. That's what we saw in the pandemic.
Hey, folks, has anybody simply
help us light this up?
Okay.
We will turn this off, I believe.
What about congressmen or senators? Usually when you get issues like this, you hear from Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. You hear from Ted Cruz from Texas. You hear from Missouri. Help me out here.
Josh Hawley,
yeah. For example. Those three come to mind. There are others. Those are senators. Is anybody taking the lead or speaking out directly on this in Congress?
The best guy in the United States Senate is Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He has been doing it. Most of the rest, if they know anything about it, have been pretty quiet, frankly.
But Ron Johnson, okay.
Especially guys like Ted Cruz, who are up for re-election. You know, when he was Solicitor General of Texas, he litigated some important states' rights, cases before the Supreme Court. He should be all over this thing. In fact, every Republican should be all over it.
Right.
They have all co-sponsored legislation saying, at a minimum, these treaties have to come to the Senate for its advice and consent. But my point is this, if I may just make a concluding comment. Where this thing will go off the rails, I believe, is when Democrats... As one of you was just saying a moment ago, this shouldn't be a partisan issue. Democrats should recognize that they have a responsibility to save our sovereignty as much as Republicans. And if we make it clear that there will be the ultimate penalty paid by anybody, Democrat or Republican,
I think we lost them.
Who goes along to prevent these treaties from being approved, and then we're being stuck with them. We may try to get out from under them. Maybe Donald Trump will come in. But all of that means months and months and months of being under this tyranny. And it'll be very hard to get out from under it. So mm-hmm. sovereigntycoalition.org is where I want them to go, all of our folks. But also to start talking about this. Start demanding answers from people seeking your vote. Make sure that everybody understands that if you're voting to surrender our sovereignty and our personal medical freedom, not only won't you get my vote, but you're going to lose your job. If you have already got it, period. And that, especially if Joe Biden takes that aboard, I think you're going to find he's going to not want any part of having to run for re-election on the basis that he surrendered your sovereignty to some communist agent in Geneva.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you, Frank, for warning us about this. If I call my congressman or my senator and I speak to them, which I'm encouraging everybody to do, can you put it in a nutshell what I need to say? Because the receptionist on the other end of the phone will be taking a note to, they take notes from their constituencies. Do I just say to them, tell Congressman or tell Senator so-and-so, to stop this May 27th treaty with the World Health Organization? Is that what I say?
That's pretty good. It's actually two treaties.
It could happen
between the 27th and the 1st of June. But the main thing is you want to say, don't surrender my sovereignty.
Okay. To the World Health Organization.
To the World Health Organization or, frankly, anybody else.
Yeah.
Most immediately, that's the idea, is to give Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus the right to become my personal doctor.
Gotcha.
I won't have it. And I will not vote for you if you do that to me.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Much.
God bless you. You are vital to this cause.
Thank you, sir.
SovereigntyCoalition.org. Check it out.
Thank you. Hey, Chris, I found an excellent article on this from The Federalist.
Okay. I can share that.
But I don't know how to, I don't have an email on this.
What is the headline?
I did Google, but if you go, it's called Whose Global Governance Gambit?
Okay.
Whose Global Governance Gambit is a Threat to Democracy? You have it?
I found it. I will share it on our Facebook page.
I trust the Federalist.
On this issue.
Their news site.
Yes, I would. It's very good that you mentioned that. We have our own stories as well on FN.net, so look for that link. It's funny you mentioned I trust the Federalist. I do as well. the reason I bring that up is because last week I was talking with Frank's partner, Reggie Littlejohn. She partnered with him on the creation of the Sovereignty Coalition, which he mentioned just a moment ago. I shared that link as well. The reason I got her on the phone is because the World Health Organization says all of this is not true, and they've had their allies in places like the Associated Press do so-called fact checks on this issue, saying, again, this is not true. All these people are misled.
You mean they're saying what Frank said is not true?
Correct. To which Reggie told me, don't believe what they say, believe what they do, and look at our press releases where they have everything laid out,
okay.
Just like Frank mentioned.
So if they want to go, what I'm trying to do here, and Ray Pritchard with us, Wesley Wildman, Chris Woodward, I'm Tim Wildman, this is American Family Radio. What I'm trying to do here is maybe there are a lot of people listening. Our interview with Frank's first they've heard of this, but they don't know how to communicate that to their friends and family. And if they give them an article that they can read, which explains everything in layman's terms, that's what I'm trying to get at. So,
He's put that article and the article of Act Now, which is on the Sovereignty Coalition. He's put both of those links up.
So if you go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, we just posted two articles on the subject we were just talking about with Frank that you can read and pass on to friends and family.
Explains
everything succinctly.
Yes, it does.
Correct. Two or three more links, and my name will be officially changed to Link.
You sound like a rapper.
Two
Link Woodward, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, Frank.
I grew up on the mean streets of a cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Ray, what do you think about, Ray? You didn't have
to. It is shocking to me that this is happening. Surreptitiously, they're slipping this in. But this is a globalist takeover of the United States healthcare system, which if you made a list of things you don't want to see happen, they'd be near the top of things we don't want to see happen. Goodness gracious. He called them the communists in Geneva, giving them the right to dictate healthcare policies to us. So it is past high time for Christians and patriots and conservatives to stand up and speak out and, light a fire under some of the good guys up there in Congress and say, hey, lead us, speak out. Let's stop this before it's too late.
Yeah, our nation was born out of somebody from a long distance away telling us what to do. And men and women stood up and said, oh, no, you don't.
Okay,
well, if you say so.
Well, you know, there's one axiom, if that's what it is, that's true, and that is people are willing to give up their freedom if they're scared to death.
Absolutely. That's a tactic, too.
Even Americans love their freedom and their liberty, for the most part, but people will surrender that in the name of safety. And security, and that's what happened during the COVID pandemic, is that, not to say there weren't real issues, at least initially, with what COVID was doing to people, to a lot of people, in terms of the effect on the lungs and so forth. It was dangerous at first, but then we learned for the vast majority of people, it was just the flu, okay? But now, if you can scare people to death, they'll say, well, I'll do whatever you say do. I'll surrender my freedoms if you'll keep me safe. And so that's what you have to contend with here. But I'll tell you what we learned, Ray, during the COVID pandemic, and if I get Wesley started on this, we'll be here.
If you're going to do it now, because there's only 2 minutes left.
Yeah, then you can come
now.
Back.
That's going to have to stop me.
But Ray, what? A lot of trust, as you said, I think you said, Ray, a lot of trust was broken between the American people and these institutions that we had come to respect. So
there's a lot of money in the trust bank, and suddenly it disappeared after the pandemic. Because we were lied to, we were misled, our leaders were misled, we were told things were so that weren't so,
right?
And they forced the complete shutdown of our society and did it all over the world. So I don't blame anybody for being skeptical, and I can't think of anything I want less than having bureaucrats. Just leave it that way. Just bureaucrats in Geneva,
right,
legislating health policy to the people of America.
Yeah.
Them's fighting words. We don't want that.
No, I agree. The World Health Organization. You know,
now you want to get me started?
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
We got to take a break right now.
No, I'm kidding.
I think there's the most. I don't know what word I want to use.
Sure.
When we were told by our leaders, both the health organizations and the political leaders, especially the liberal leaders, that the COVID vaccine shots would keep you from getting COVID and keep you from spreading COVID, mm-hmm. we were told that. And then that turned out within months to be proven not true.
180.
That's when
not
they lost.
Partially true.
That's when they lost me completely.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I said, you can't trust these people.
That's where they lost a lot of the liberals. A lot of people on the left. A lot of people on the left said, "No, not, I'm not getting a booster."
It was not a true vaccine.
Wouldn't a fix all.
Some people that have been twice boosted
we'll be back.
Get COVID.
Yep.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.